So we're in the middle of the series of our story, our future, and I've called the message this morning, Building His House. So on your seats you would have an Our Story, Our Future card, and this is going to be taken up next week. We're going to have a miracle offering next week as we put in this Our Story, Our Future card for the next 12 months. This isn't just a once-off offering, although you can do that. This is a faith promise over the next 12 months of building His house, of building C3 Fremantle and C3 Wallard. So let's get stuck into it. We have been interviewing people and hearing their stories of how His house, how God's house has changed their lives. And I know you all have your own story of what God has done in your life. And right now, just head your eyes to the screen as we hear from Taylor and her story.
So I was attending a church just in Birmingham, and I went to terrible 5 p.m. service, put in my car, drove out of my driveway, looked to the right, make sure there's no cars, saw C3 signed in color, reversed back, and then walked across. What the amazing to me was the community aspect and how much people within C3 actually did care about you. They weren't just there for numbers, they actually wanted to know you and wanted to understand your story, why you come to the church. There was a sense of community which I didn't really feel anywhere else. And since being here, I've grown friendships and I've grown into, and it has created a family for me outside of my own family. So some people that I can lean on and I can get advice from and speak with about any issues that do come up, which is a major. For me, it wasn't just another step in the road. It was something that I had a desire to do so I could, you know, grow my relationship with God and proceed through that. I felt that if I hadn't gone through, hadn't done that step, that I wouldn't be at the point where I am now, so I wouldn't be holding myself back. Everything's changed. Literally from my persona and my attitude towards myself and to everyone else, that's become a major thing that has changed in my life. And I've also been able to grow friendships, which I would never have been able to prior to coming to church. For me, currently, it's to obtain more knowledge, and not just little what the Bible says. It's the reason behind what everything is meant for. So, that's where I'm currently at now. Where would I like to see myself in the future? I would like to go into mission. That is a passion for me now, and it used to be, but it is now. And through the work that I do, eventually I would like to transfer to chaplain within the Defence Force.
This is why we do our Story at Future. It's because we're building into people's lives, we're building into their future, and we're building into the people that aren't in His house yet. This is what our Story at Future is all about. So Taylor's of this world, hearing her story of talking about community, genuine care, friendships, family, helping her grow in her relationship with the Lord. She was transformed, she's been set free, and she's passionate about knowing the Word more, knowing Jesus more, and going into ministry. How good is that? So good. So our Story, Our Future, our building program, I really wanted to talk about what the foundation is of His house, and it's Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our unbreakable foundation. It's the foundation whom we build His house and build His kingdom. Jesus is the foundation that this church is built upon. He is the cornerstone of this church that we are building. Jesus is the head of this church and is our rock, our solid foundation that we are building His church and building the kingdom of heaven. C3 Fremantle and Wellard, you know, you can have complete confidence that your senior ministers build this church on the foundation that is Jesus. It is not built on any other motive, person, or plan, simply built on Jesus Christ. And so what is His house for? Why is His house so important? Why is our story, our future so important? His house is a place where people find their identity in Jesus. It's where we come together to pray, to worship, to hear his word, where people are healed, where we encourage one another, where we love one another. His house is a house of prayer, of worship, of teaching the word, of worshiping him. Last week, Pastor Nigel talked about us being Christ followers. We build our lives and his church upon Jesus as our firm foundation, as our everlasting Saviour, Father God, who is unchanging, who loves us relentlessly, where his house, heaven, the kingdom of God is eternal. We follow Jesus. We will do as he does. We learn from his example of obeying Father God, of doing his will that pleases the Father God. And so we can trust that following Jesus will keep us secure, it will keep us grounded and more unwavered as we put our trust in him and build his house. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this house right here where your presence dwells. Father God, we thank you that we are building, Lord, not in just one location, but in two locations. And Father God, that there are more locations for the future, that we will build your house. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to follow you, to follow your ways, to do as you call us to do. Father God, that you laid down your son's life. Jesus laid down his life. And Father God, that we would do the same. We would sacrifice and lay down our lives to build your house and build the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 6, verse 46 to 49 says, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." Jesus is our foundation. When we read and listen and follow his teaching, follow the word of God, we will always stand firm, always stand firm. And it means that we can build our lives and build into other people's lives and build his house on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says here in Luke 6, Jesus is your foundation. He is your rock. So listen and follow him and build his house. He uses this metaphor of a life with him being central, with a relationship that is based on him, of his word, of following him and his teaching. He is your foundation. So when the storms of life come your way, you won't be wavered. You won't be wavered. You will stand firm because he is your truth. He is your resurrection life. He is your eternal life. And he promises that when you are building his kingdom above everything else, he will give you everything you need. Luke 12, 31 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Put him first, seek the kingdom of God of heaven, and he will give you everything you need." Put the Lord first. When Jesus is really Lord, when he is first in your life and we are building his kingdom, he will give you everything you need. Building his kingdom above everything else means we will put God first in our lives. We will sacrifice in faith to help build his church. We will share with others who Jesus is and the life he gives when we follow him. Richard and I have been at this church for 12 years now. We were originally brought up in the Fremantle area. We spent 4 years in Canberra experiencing extremely cold weather. I think it felt like winter most of the time. The summer was very short. But we knew it was a season that Richard and I had to go through. It was a great season that we could consolidate our young family. We moved over there with a three-month-old baby, and it was a great time to really consolidate us as a couple and as a young family. But we knew that we're meant to be back here. This is our home. This is our home. And so finding a job with the federal government back in Perth is pretty difficult. There's not a lot of jobs in the federal government back here, which Richard was working for. But we kept praying, we kept seeking the Lord and asking, and he did eventually receive the job in the similar area that he was working in Canberra. It did mean that we took a considerable pay cut to return back to Fremantle. It was over $20,000 less than what we had originally. So very average income now. We were returning to Fremantle with 2.5 children. So we came back, two kids, 7 months pregnant, but very, very grateful that we could return back to Fremantle. And so because we knew what C3 was like, we had already experienced a great C3 in Canberra, it made sense to start coming to the local C3, which is here in Fremantle. We love the local church. Richard and I love the local church. We know that the church is a place of gathering his people. We know that it's a place where his presence dwells. And we really believe in the local community, local gathering, a local church. That's why we came here. And so from the moment that we started coming to C3 Fremantle, we were introduced to our story, our future. And we have been giving into this program above our tithes and offerings, as well as the missions, since the start. And, you know, I wouldn't tell you that, you know, at times it's been hard. It's been a challenge to actually give to the Lord in this way, especially when you have a young family, one income for most of that time. And I asked Richard, well, why, what's your story? Why would you give? And he just said, well, we're just supposed to. That's what you do. You just give into the house of God. Fair enough, Richard. Richard's always very generous and very, this is what you do. You just obey, you just do it. And so we have. Very grateful for a husband that leads in this way. It does come at a cost. It does require sacrifice. It would be very easy not to give into his house. It would be very easy just to, you know, keep it for ourselves, keep it for our family, put it on our own mortgage. But we didn't. We gave into his house. We were building his house and his kingdom. And we never give expecting anything in return. We never give to receive blessing or anything like that. We just want to give. We want to put God first in all that we do. However, his scripture says, his word says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and he will give you everything you need. And he has done that in ways that we could not have imagined. Richard and I had a shared dream of having a home that would fit all of us, all six of us. We had a really shared dream of just having a place where it was a place of peace and it was a sanctuary for us. And where we were living, it just wasn't quite right. And so we had the shared dream of this place that we were dreaming for. And, you know, God just gave us a significant amount of money that was able to pay down our mortgage, that allowed us to have this dream place that we now call our home, which happens to be in Wellard. So Richard is at Wellard. You may not see him here, but he's at Wellard. That's his local church. That's our local church too. And so he's serving there today. He's in the house, 5 minutes down the road from our place that God gave us. God just will overwhelm you with his love for you. As you put him first, as you seek the kingdom of God above all else, he will overwhelm you with his love for you. Whatever you need, whatever your dream is, this is why our story, our future is a faith promise. It's a faith promise. You can trust the Lord that when you faithfully give to him, when you faithfully put him first, when you seek his kingdom above all else, he will just overwhelm you with his love. He knows exactly what you need, whether it's material things right now, whether it's relationships restored, whatever it is that you need, you can put your faith in the Lord and he will give that to you. but he will do it in ways that you don't imagine. It will be in ways that will just, he really will overwhelm you. You cannot outgive the Lord. You cannot outgive the Lord. Sacrifice, it does require sacrifice. Jesus requires all of you to follow him. And we do so with such grateful hearts because we know that we are building into our eternal home in heaven. We are participating in building into other people's lives and their eternity with Christ. So seek the kingdom of God and he will give you everything you need. Build your life on a firm foundation following Jesus. Jesus central and first in all you do. Matthew 16 verses 13 to 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Simon Peter, or Peter, as Jesus renamed him, knew who Jesus was. He was solid and assured of who Jesus was. That's why Jesus chose Peter to build his church. His church is us. His church is his people, his children. And Jesus gives even more assurance in saying that no one, no other power or anything else will defeat or conquer his church. Jesus gives Peter his power, that resurrection power that rose Christ from the dead, that whoever, whatever he forbids on earth would be forbidden in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. That's why when we gather in his house, in this place, we who build our lives on Jesus, we have the authority to set people free. We see people set free. We know that Jesus' power means that people can be set free. And we have that power to do that. We are his church, we are his people to set people free. To see people healed in Jesus' name, to bind the enemy. His word says when we resist the enemy, he will flee. He has no power over us. He has no power over us. We need to hold on to the truth that Christ has the resurrection power to set us free from sin and death and those things that are not of him. We need to believe that. So we have full confidence that we are building a house, a church that will last forever with Jesus as our victor. We have confidence that our Father in heaven has revealed himself to each one of us. He has revealed his Son, Jesus, to us. And you have that power too, to bind up those things that are not of God, and to release those things that are of God. We are to be passionate in loving his church, in building his church. Jesus was passionate for his Father's house. This passion was Jesus' undoing, the one thing where Jesus expressed righteous anger. When he was in his Father's house and the church was not being used for his glory. Jesus' passion for his Father's house. We need to have that same passion. Matthew 21:13. This is where Jesus, he said to them, he is in the temple. This is a scripture that Matthew 21 and John 2, that these are scriptures that quote Jeremiah. They quote what Jesus actually said in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. It's where his church, his temple, was actually very corrupt. It's where the leaders, the priests, the officers of the temple, they were stealing from the widows, they were stealing from the people, they were not following the Lord. They were corrupt, they were selling things, it was just not of the Lord. And this is where Jesus is so passionate for his Father's house, to remain pure, to remain true, where he is Lord. Matthew 21:13, he said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." We often think of Jesus as a misconception of who he is. You know, he's supposed to be nice. Jesus was never nice. He was kind, he was loving, he always spoke the truth. And he doesn't tolerate his house when it's nothing less than a house of prayer, when it's nothing less when Jesus is first and Jesus is Lord. This is what his church is here. We need to have his passion for his house. You know, these words that Jesus says here, calling the temple his house, calling the church his house, which was built according to the plan he gave and was the place of his worship, where he dwelt, his presence to his people, signifying that in time to come it should be a house of prayer, not for the Jews that were there at the time, but for all people. These words are correctly applied to Christ, to the temple. The house of my sanctuary shall be called a house of prayer. Jesus is furious that his house has become corrupt. He is furious that the people in charge of the temple have turned it into a den of thieves. He's so angry. He's so angry. And the scripture, Jeremiah 7:11, when Judah was corrupt, there was stealing, there was a lot of idolatry. Jesus continuously sent prophets to say, "Come back, repent, make me Lord, don't have idols." He did not tolerate idolatry or the corruption or anything else except him as Lord in his temple, his church. And Jesus says, when I am not Lord in my house, I will not dwell there. My presence will not be there. And so the opposite, the positive of that is for us to have passion for his house, to have Jesus as Lord of our life in everything that we do. His presence dwells. He dwells with us. And we see the power of God, the power of heaven, when we come together in his church. This is his church. His house on earth, his church, is where people come in and find Christ. They find their eternal home. They find heaven. It's where people discover that Jesus is their Saviour, the only one who can forgive, where he offers reconciliation between them and Father God, where people discover that Jesus has prepared a place for them in heaven, in their and our eternal home. So we need to have the same passion that Jesus did, that Jesus does for his church. He is the head of the church. We are his body. He wants us to be passionate about building his house. As you build his house, he will build your house. As you build his house, you are building his kingdom in heaven. John 14, verses 1 to 3 say, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." And Psalm 23, verse 6, talking about the house of the Lord, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." God's word is true. He speaks about the place that he has prepared for you. The house that we're building here, a physical house on earth, is just a fragment. It's just a mirror of the place that is that God has prepared for you in heaven. And for so many people who need to hear about Christ. We can trust in the Lord that as you build his house here, you're building his house in heaven. You're building his kingdom. The last point that I want to talk about is Christ's present dwelling in his church, residing in his church. So Jesus is our foundation on which this house is built. Jesus is passionate about his church and his church being a place where he as the head can dwell, where we with Christ in us being our rock whom we follow means that his presence resides in his church too. Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are doing this together. Together, we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling place. God lives by his Spirit. So Jesus, the cornerstone of his church. Again, we have a visual image of a building metaphor where the cornerstone is that first stone that is laid where all other stones are built around and placed. The cornerstone, Jesus, is our cornerstone, our foundation. And we are all the other stones that are building his church. We are the living stones. We are his church. We are the temple. We are. God's given us his Spirit, lives in us. Jesus lives in us. We are his temple. And we are carefully joined together and placed in this church to build his house, to build his kingdom. It's not by accident that you are here today. God's very intentional that you are here today. He has a purpose for you in building his house here at C3 Fremantle and building the kingdom of God. So 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Christ in us, we are all the living stones placed around the cornerstone that is Jesus, building his house, building his kingdom, and the presence of Christ dwells here. Together we are the church. We are the church. In Revelation, there's so many chapters that talk about the different churches. And in Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth are described that God will create. And this new heaven and new earth is made of the most precious gemstones, of pearls of gold, the most valuable gems and metals and materials, where there is no night, only light, where the city walls are high, guarded with angels. This new heaven and new earth are glorious. We need to have a revelation of the kingdom of God. That what you're doing here through our story, our future of building his house, of giving, of sacrificing, that you are building into the kingdom of God. You are building into the lives of people that are in our community that need Jesus. We all know Jesus here. We already have our place in heaven. And our story, our future is making this place, building this place. God, that we could pay this mortgage down, that we could finish off the things that have been started here. That we would glorify Jesus in this place, in his church, and that we would see more and more people come into this house to find Christ, to find life, that they would have their place in the kingdom of God. Our story, our future is so much more than just us. It's so much more than receiving everything we need as we give into this program. This is about other people's lives. This is about our community of finding Christ, having their place in the kingdom of God. So why do we sacrifice and consistently and faithfully give to our story, our future? Because Jesus is firstly our rock. He is our foundation. He is first in our life. Secondly, Jesus is passionate about his church. We know him and we are to have the same passion for his church and building his church. And thirdly, as we build upon Jesus as our cornerstone, his presence dwells here. We experience every Sunday through the worship, through the praise. As soon as you walk into the doors, you know the presence of God is here. It's for the tailors of this place that we do what we do. It's for the Joshes, the Jades, Suzannes, the Jays. For all those people who got baptized this morning. This is why we do what we do. We're building his house. Can you imagine life without this church? It would be scattered, dismembered, in disarray, disunity. The church actually comes from the word ecclesia, which means gathering, assembly of his people. We cannot imagine life without his church. So let's build his house together. Let's make his house a place of rest, a place where people can find Christ, they can find their eternal life, their place in the kingdom of God. Can you all stand? I want you just to stand as we declare this morning. On your seat, just hold your Our Story, Our Future card in your hand. Our miracle offering is next week. And I just pray that as we consider this week, as we really prayerfully consider how the Lord would have us build his kingdom in this way, that we would obey, that we would do as he says, that we would be firmly established and secured on the rock that is Jesus. Father God, I thank you for every single person here today. Father God, I thank you that we all are called to sacrifice. We are all called to build your kingdom. And Father God, throughout this week, Lord, let us all hear how we are to do this as individuals. Father, that together we would obey, together we would build your house, we would build your kingdom, and that we would see the glory of God in this place. We would see more and more people come into this house and find Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that we can trust in you. We can trust in you, knowing that as we seek the kingdom of God above everything else in our life, you will give us everything we need. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So take this home with you this week. We will have a miracle offering next Sunday. We all get to celebrate as we give, as we pledge the next 12 months of our faith promise. I'd encourage you to write down the things that you need, the dreams that you have. See what the Lord does over the next 12 months. Thank you, church.